This is Confessions of Coconuts, episode 10. I'm Coco.
And I'm Kashu.
Hi, Kashu.
Hi.
How are you?
Very tired.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know why.
It's just like, it's a pattern.
Yeah.
Every Friday?
Like, yeah, every Friday. It's just like on Wednesday, I was not tired. I was like bopping and bouncing around, but now I'm just tired. Hopefully today's Friday with friends will cheer me up and make me all like bopping as usual.
Oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will. Today, I'm so excited that it's Friday because every Friday we talk with amazing people and amazing friends. I have an awesome friend today. My friend, I would say my super happy friend. And I say that because she's always smiling. Such a talented and blessed artist. And a fellow Brazilian. On Instagram, she goes by Daniela Macho. Welcome, my friend. So glad to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a pleasure. Thank you for asking me to be here on your podcast. How exciting.
Super exciting. We first met in Colorado through a mutual friend. Kisses to you, Thais, if you are listening.
Oh my gosh, this is like war flashbacks to like last Fridays with friends where you said basically the exact same thing.
Yes, because last Fridays with friends, we were talking with Yami. And I met Yami through a friend, and Daniela, I met her through a friend too. So
wow.
I cannot repeat myself, Kashu.
I don't know. I was just like suddenly war flashbacks to last week or 2 weeks ago.
Well, you know, that's the thing. You know, I think that life is all about, you know, nurturing connections, and sometimes you meet people through people. And if you nurture connections, you know, that's how things get done in life. So that's awesome.
Absolutely. That's cool. And that day when we met, we were doing what Brazilians do best, which is party and talk.
Yeah. Wow.
Talk.
Tell me about it.
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, we love that. So after the party, I know that back in the day, we didn't leave close, but I could follow your beautiful artistic progress through Facebook. And I need to tell you, I am a fan. I am a huge fan of your work.
Honestly, who isn't a huge fan of her work?
This is so awesome. Thank you so much, guys. You're awesome. Awesome.
I mean, we have to give credit to those who deserve credit, right, Lovely?
Exactly.
I know.
Something I'm very passionate about.
I'm telling you, Lovely is an artist herself, as you know, Dani.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she
and
is.
And so we value art in this, in this circle right now.
Yes, I think that art is a very important thing that should, like, everybody should appreciate. It's a very, very nice thing that exists.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know your amazing resume until you got to Colorado. And I think that our listeners would be very impressed. Can you share your journey a bit?
I don't know if it's that impressive. First of all, thank you so much for all the accolades. You know, this is super cool. I'm very humbled by this experience, but I really appreciate that you were so passionate about art, and this is very important because the more people that are passionate about art, and that the more we talk about art and really, you know, bring it to the forefront of people's minds, I think this is the most important thing, you know,
because definitely.
Art really matters in the lives of people. This is really important. And, you know, life without art would just be, nah.
Oh, yeah. <You know? laughs>
That's what I always say. So, but I started back in Brazil, you know, going to school, went to art school in São Paulo, and went to, you know, just as a girl and taught art here and there, had a few exhibitions in Brazil, and then stopped painting for a long time and went back to painting after I moved to the U.S. I moved here in 1997. So about 99 was when I got back into painting here in the U.S. and did a lot of mural work, had a business as a muralist for a long time.
Wow. And painted. I love those. Yes,
I did a lot of murals back then and did full finishing. I did a little bit of everything at that time. You know, I was really trying to find my voice as an artist, not really focused on my art, had a lot of different things going on. And I think when I really focused on my art was after my divorce and moved to Texas. And when I say focus on my art, I had been painting some on canvas until then, you know, selling work, but not really focusing on my artistic career until then. But I'd say that my focus really shifted to painting when I moved to Texas, and I really built a body of work that was really focused on me and what I believed my work should be like. And with this body of work, I was able to travel all over the world. It started out with a show in New York with a fun show that was called Art Takes Times Square. And there were thousands, I think there were 35,000 artists from all over the world that submitted work to this crazy show, and I think 7,000 were selected, and they had their work shown in Times Square on a megatron, you know, the big
screen. Yeah, the big screen in the middle. Yeah, yeah.
So that was my first experience there.
That must have been so excited, huh?
That was, but I really didn't know much about it. But what was cool from that experience was the connections that I made with artists who were part of that experience. And from that was I connected with some of the artists, and from that connection, some opportunities came for a representation in New York. That's another story that's super cool, how I got representation in New York. But.
So let me ask you, if you don't mind, so when you moved from Colorado to Texas, did you feel like a big transition? Was it like a big change? Whether it was from, you know, leaving Colorado to Texas, or the way you treated your art?
It was a huge personal change for me. I had just gotten remarried, so it was a new beginning. Everything was new to me. It was a rebirth, I would say. And yeah. I think as an artist, that was exactly it. I had to break from every shackle, and I had to break from, you know, I had to be free, you know, completely, and start a completely new life. And I think that was what really started this new, the new phase. And yeah. I got super involved in the community, and I was involved everything happened at the same time. I was, in boards of directors of every organization in town. I was in flames, you know, like it was a crazy, crazy time.
I do remember though, when you moved there was when you started painting, and I was meanwhile following you through social media and seeing all these amazing painting that you were doing. And you know, what I love about your painting is definitely the colors you choose. The collection, it's like one collection after the other. I could see like a sea of oranges and a sea of red. I just love those colors. Each one of your paintings, big or small, shows so much creativity and imagination. Do you choose your colors before you start, or just go from there?
I think the colors, they kind of choose me. I really don't choose the colors. I don't go like, "Ooh, I'm going to paint a yellow painting now." You know, really, I have kind of an idea especially if it's an abstract painting. And I have an idea of where I want the painting to go. But the colors, they kind of lend themselves to where the composition is going. I think, it all depends, because I start with a wash, which is like a fluid layer of a thinned down paint. I usually work with oils. And I plan the painting on the canvas. So it's with the brush, and depending on what my composition is going to be, that's what I will start deciding, you know, where the blocks of colors are going to go. And I usually work with pure colors from the tube of paint. So I think that's how I kind of will decide on the mood, I guess, or where I want the painting to go. So I don't know exactly which colors I'm going to use. But what I know is that I work a lot with contrast, and I play a lot with colors that they interact with each other in strong ways. Mm-hmm. So so that's usually what I'm looking for. You know, if I have tension and release, you know, that's usually what I'm looking for. I'm looking for places of tension in the painting and places of release so that I can tell a story within the painting. That's usually what I'm trying to do.
Do you prefer doing like paintings with like subjects, or are you like more concentrated in like the abstract? You know, I've seen both of like your like all the different kinds of work when we went to go visit you, I don't know, like early this year or like late last year. And I was like, I'm just like, what do you prefer? What is like your niche?
That's a really interesting question. I was asking myself that this today, actually. it's interesting you ask me that, because I'm working on a new series of paintings now, and I'm actually just getting down to sketching it.
Really?
I've been researching for the past couple of years, actually, doing some research and sketching and doing lots of different things, reading books about women that made a difference in history, and a lot of spiritual research and anatomy. And I mean, I'm all over the place. Whenever I start on a new series, I am everywhere. You know, it has no rhyme or reason where I'm going, really. You know, if somebody were to be inside my head, you know, they would be like, this lady is just out of her mind.
Like, when you're talking about the women who are like, if history women are making a difference, like, what kind of women are you talking, like, just like influential women, like, I don't know, you could say like Harriet Tubman and all that kind of stuff?
Yes. Sometimes there sometimes there are women that not necessarily are the ones that everybody have thought of. One person that that I researched, there are so many unknown names, that I've been reading about, women that in small towns that have made a difference, and that are the unknowns, that have made a difference for a small town. So not necessarily the big names, that everybody has done, or because everybody has a mother, and that's more where I'm going.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very poetic. Like, all of your friends are poetic. I don't understand this.
Yeah, it's like more of the... And also, I'm researching trees. So this is going to be... I've been researching a lot about women and a lot about trees. So it's kind of like I'm feeling that it's going to be something to do with women and trees, or women in trees and something like that. Yeah,
women in trees, a series.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's almost, I think where it's coming to be, it's almost, there's a phrase that says, like, if I am who I am, it's because I have, because I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. And I think this is the vision that I have for this series, because I feel like women, we are daughters of our mothers, and we, it's almost like the trees, the trunk that enlarges and the branches sprout from, the trunk, and the smaller branches kind of sprout from the thicker branches until the little leaves kind of reach to the sky. And I think this is the vision that I have, from the women that came before us that brought us upwards, and I think this is the vision of this new series that I'm working on.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Yeah. I cannot wait to see this work.
Yeah, I think it's going to be beautiful. And she was talking about anatomy and how she's sketching the ladies and stuff.
Man.
It's like something that you also get into deep research level sometimes.
Oh, I never go into deep research level. Are you kidding me?
You do talk about how it's hard to draw anatomy.
Yeah, I am terrible at drawing anatomy. It's something I really need to work on. But, I haven't, gone out of my way to, go online and look at, poses and stuff, I probably should do that. I am inspired now by all this wonderful talk of art.
I found just this week there are awesome YouTube videos that you can find that are live drawing videos that you can have. They're models and you can just sketch, and they can have 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute, 5 minute, 15 minute sketch live models on YouTube.
And believe it or not, Dani, P, she's not here today, but she is actually pretty good at sketching and looking at things and drawings.
Yeah,
I was so impressed. She was doing last night, and I was like, wow, I have two artists in my house.
Oh, she's really good at drawing from life.
Uh-huh. I have to tell you, both of your girls, I am a fan of you. I'll tell you, I tell everybody about your family. And I think,
oh my gosh, are you kidding?
I just know the coolest family on earth. My friend, Coconut.
That's right. That's us.
Yeah, my friend Jackie is just the awesomest.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. And, Cashew mentioned our visit in last year when we finally went to Texas to visit you guys. I must say, Dani, that I love visiting you last year and sleeping at a gallery.
I must basically Like, are you kidding me?
At a gallery.
We were like in the room. P and I, we were in the room, and there was like art everywhere, and we're just like, I wonder what we can look at and touch without breaking anything.
I know the your house is literally like a gallery.
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah, it's like in between shows, you know, everything ends up. And when you came, it was like all of the shows had ended. So everything was here. So I thought like, oh my gosh, where am I going to put the guests?
It's like, maybe they'll sleep in the backyard. It's not too bad. The weather's not terrible.
Well, I truly appreciated to have all the paintings there, because to me, it was unbelievable seeing, you know, I love all the collections. I love everything. But the last one when we were there, from the favela in Brazil, I would love to talk a little bit about those. Those are beautiful. But let me say that it was a lovely trip. It was a truly lovely trip going to visit you there. And wow.
It was a joy having you here. Oh, having the three of you here, it was so fun. I mean, we had such experiences. Oh, when we went to my friend Dale's house.
Yeah.
That was so wild. I will never forget that day.
With the bird, remember? With the bird inside the house?
Yes, I remember.
I hope that's on Instagram somewhere so I can put it on the show notes.
I don't think it is, but we can find it. But it was very, very.
I have those live photos of me with the
bird.
With the bird,
yes.
On the hat, on the brim of the hat.
And you have a very nice family. And you know what? Hold. Let me tell you. Mm-hmm. Let me tell everyone. I mean, you paint. Mm-hmm. Michael, your husband, he teaches music, and he also. Plays,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He plays.
He plays the clarinet. And then,
and your sons, they also do band, right?
Yes.
I mean, everybody are artists there.
Yeah basically.
Yeah, we're pretty artistic, yes.
It's
kind of hard to get a lot of things done sometimes, but we're very artistic.
Yeah. And then the best part, of course, is that we talk, because that's what Brazilians do.
Absolutely.
And it was we have such a good memories of that trip. It was
really nice.
Good. Really good.
Yes, it was wonderful. It was a fantastic visit when you were here.
So you mentioned a little bit going abroad and seeing many places because of your art, because of your paintings.
Yes.
How many countries have you visited and because of it? And do you know?
I think, you know, because of the art that I visited, what's the funny thing is that I didn't get to go all the places that my art has been.
Oh,
I wish.
Yes, tell us about that.
Yes,
I
do confess.
Sometimes I go like, wow, my art has been to Germany. That's so awesome. Well, I've been to Germany, but not with my art. You know, my art has been to Germany before I went to Germany. So, but... Yeah, so I had the art go to, you know, Europe, several countries of Europe, and actually I'll be bringing back my collection that is in Europe soon for a big show that I'm going to have in Texas soon, and the pieces that haven't been sold yet there, and but yeah, it's been. I have pieces in Australia, had a cover page in New Zealand this last year. Let's see, Brazil, of course, but Canada, which I've never been to. All over Europe, pretty much. And I think that's it. The U.S., several places in the U.S. that I haven't been for shows. But, yeah, that's about it.
How do you, like, feel about, you know, having, like, thinking about your art in, like, other people's homes, like, all around the world? Like, how does that make you feel?
Oh, it's such a good feeling. I think it's so rewarding because I paint for other people. You know, I think this is something that I really feel strongly about. You know, I have friends who are artists that they're very jealous of their work, and they fall so much in love with their art that they have a hard time parting with them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I paint for the world. I think this is something that I really, I'm very passionate about. I pray over my paintings. I really envision, you know, the people that are going to once have my paintings, because I believe that they're part of the world. They're not part of me. They're part of, you know, they just pass through me, you know, and they belong to the world. They belong to somebody else, you know, and I think it's wonderful. I think it's super cool that they have it in their home and they're happy. You know, I hope they're happy forever, you know, having my work, that they get to enjoy it. I think that's awesome.
No wonder we are so blessed lately.
Yeah, because we have your art piece in our house. We're just like, oh, man. You know, just like, look at this. $50 bill on the ground. It must have been Daniela's art. I'm telling you.
I'm the blessed. I'm the one.
This is awesome. Have you ever seen, like, people in other cultures react different to your art? Do you, like, everywhere you go when you're doing exhibitions, do you see them reacting differently, or everybody just have their own way at looking at things?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I never thought about it. I think everybody thinks that my work is very, I don't know. I think the reaction is always that the work is happy.
I'm gonna go back again to what I think about the colors. The colors are so vibrant.
Yeah, it's just the whole vibe.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool. Yeah, I think that's it. I think they're struck by the colors, and you know, they ask me about my inspiration. I don't know. I think it's always a personal connection, I guess, that people mm-hmm. have with the paintings. You know, I think that's I think that what I try to transmit, you know, I am so focused on, you know, on how things are going to be connected within the paintings. You know, I am always working on the composition and how the texture is going to connect, like, especially on an abstract painting, you know, like how the different elements, you know, the abstract elements are going to be traveling and telling the story of the painting, you know, and I always wonder, wow, you know, if people are going to take the same path that I created within the painting, you know, mm-hmm. but I don't know if anybody does that.
That's something to wonder. That is something to wonder.
Yeah, and yeah. Speaking of that, though, that last collection you did, mm-hmm. can you tell us a little bit more about it? I think it was just so beautiful, mm-hmm. the ones that you were painting about Brazil. And I would love that our listeners know a little bit of that story and how the whole idea came about.
About the favelas?
Yeah.
Of Brazil? Well, it's an interesting story. I had finished working on the series of the koi fish, you know, mm-hmm. which was kind of like an evolution from the circles, which was the fields collection. Mm-hmm. So the fields kind of evolved into the koi that kind of swam in a circular pattern. And so they kind of, it was still a fluid idea. And I, you know, I just started one day out of the blue, I just woke up and I had this in my head, you know, I said, I need to paint the favelas of Brazil. I don't know why.
Me though. And, except 3 a.m. It's like, oh yes, yes. I must insert thing here.
Yeah, I must paint the favela, the slums of Brazil. So I just told myself, the one who just told me I had to do that, like, no, thank you. You don't have to. That was exactly how the conversation went. No, we're going to think of something else. And because I had just had a big show for the koi, actually. And, you know, and I was doing my research and like I always do, you know, kind of gathering information, reading books and all kinds of things. And really, it was nothing connected with the favelas of Brazil. It had nothing to do with that. But to this day, I do not see where that came from. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I gave in, basically.
Giving in to your own urges.
Yes, I gave in. I just
Hold that thought.
Yes.
On that guy. But like, you must confess, all the ideas come about that way, or... How is it hard for ideas to come about? How does he always like? Is you talking to yourself?
No,
basically
no,
me with my art.
No, yeah. Well, the problem is not when we talk to ourselves. The problem is when we disagree with ourselves. Yeah.
Yes, I couldn't like relate more. This is like artist to artist feelings, the rawest artist mood that could ever be like mooted, I guess.
People who are not artists are not understanding this conversation. But anyways, so I think when I gave in, actually what happened was I said, well, you know, maybe this is an interesting idea. Let me do more research about it. And I did start researching, and I started sketching a couple of ideas. And my biggest concern with this idea wasn't even to paint the favelas. You know, I think my biggest concern was not to exploit the favelas, because I think my intention was to because when, you know, as an artist, you know, I am making a product that eventually is going to be out there, and this product is going to be purchased, and I'm going to be making money off of my product. And so no matter what I'm painting, I am exploiting that subject. So that's the way I viewed, you know, that was the reason why I said at first, I said, no, I cannot do this, because I didn't want to exploit a situation that is already a difficult situation. In Brazil. So I thought, you know, how could I make this into a project that would actually benefit the favelas? And so I said, okay, let me start brainstorming, you know, what could I do? And at that time, I put together a project, actually it was a large project. It was a vision. It was an enormous vision for a project. It was a multi-sensory experience of the favelas.
Oh yes, I do remember you telling us about this. Yes. When we went to visit.
Yeah. Yes.
It would be like an exhibition, a multi-sensory exhibition where people would experience the life of someone, of a child who lives in a favela or a person who lives in a favela through art and through sculpture, you know, installation pieces and art. And that I wasn't interested in the fear or the, you know, the drug dealing, because the favelas, 90% of the people who live there are, they're everyday people. These people, they're poor, but they go into town and they work with, they work for the rich people. These are the workers. These are the labor people. These are the people that make the city of Rio, in the case of Rio, exist. So that is the, that was the focus that I wanted to give. So the experience was, you know, what is the life of these people, you know, from birth through living and through death, because it's a cycle, you know, life goes through different cycles. And this is the, what I wanted to portray in the, in this experience through all senses. So what the project was mainly to focus in installation pieces that would involve painting, sculpture, and all arts, all types of media, and you would, you know, kind of people would be able to interact with some of the pieces, and there would be smells involved, touch, you know, we would and sight and hearing, so everything would be involved in this experience. So for that, I had to, you know, other than just the project that I wrote, I was able to get in touch with different nonprofit organizations in Rio that that I was able to visit and get in touch with, because I wanted to be able to give back to the community. But in order to you know, to be able to portray the everyday life of a favela, I had to experience the everyday life of the favela, because I had never been. That was part of, you know, the background of my childhood. I had never, you know, although I was born and raised in Brazil, I came to the U.S. when I was 25 years old. You know, favelas are, you know, for the, you know, middle class, you know, the upper middle class Brazilian, the favelas are something that exist and you just, you pretty much, you ignore. It's something that is there and you don't think about, or you just think as a dirty place or a dangerous place. So you don't really think about it. It becomes part of your background, of the background of the scenery. You're not thinking about it. So in order to portray that experience, I had to go in and I had to get in touch with the people and I had to meet with the people. So that was the, that was my goal. How could I ever portray that experience if I didn't have that experience? So I had a first trip to Rio, and that was going to be one of several trips.
It was right around the World Cup, wasn't it, Dani?
Exactly. What was really incredible about that, the timing of that visit, was that the Brazilian government at the time, Dilma, who was the president at the time, she had started a project. We were going to have, Brazil was going to have the World Cup. And right after that, on the heels of that, they were going to have the Olympics. So, you know, Rio was still under construction. They were a few months before, you know, this was a few months before the World Cup. And the city was still in complete disarray. Nothing was, everything was behind schedule for the World Cup to be built. And but one thing that the government of Rio did, they started this project that was called the pacification of the slums. And that was an incredible thing because most of the favelas, they have drug lords that run the favelas. Let's put it that way. So the government made a deal, basically, with the drug lords, and they started this process that was called the pacification. So what they did was they planted these police, what were they called? They were like police stations within the favelas, like as if they were able to break through and shoo away the drug lords and make it seem like.
Yeah, that is so weird.
To make it look like.
Oh man, the government, it's all a conspiracy. That's like so funny that they like, they talk to the drug lord, just like, hey, Mr. Drug Lord, can we like.
Have some bring, peace yeah, just like, for like 20 minutes?
Yeah, bring some police officers. Like, you don't have to interact, it's cool, but we'll give you some like free food, you know? Just like, let us do this and we'll be on our way.
Yeah, it was really wild. And here I show up, you know, naive, trying to make my...
Basically. So, like, you went to these all these dangerous slums, and that's like you walked around the dangerous slums?
Well, I knew better. I knew better than that. But I took the chance. I said, you know, if I'm ever going to do this, this is the only time that I can go in safely. For sure, you know, with the backing of the nonprofits that I had contact with. And I said, this is the only time that I'm going to have the guts to go in, basically, you know, for now, you know, until I actually establish myself as a known entity, right? Because then you are safe. I mean, they know you are safe. You know, it's not like... I have no fear to go in now, you know, really. But that time was, it was like this window of opportunity for me to be there. And it was really a wonderful time. But you could really feel the tension of walking in and people really looking over their shoulders, you know. And I remember asking them as I walked through the streets of the favelas, you know, and saying like, so how is this pacification going? So do you really feel safe? And people would look over their shoulders and say, oh yes, we're very safe with the police here.
This whole project of yours, it's just unbelievable.
It was really an incredible experience. But what I've learned from that experience was that I saw poverty in my country that I had never seen before. I saw children who didn't have a meal most of the days, but they were the happiest children I've ever seen in my life. I was able to visit with people. That humanity really touched me and moved me because I think what I felt was that they had nothing material, so they only had their humanity. You know, they were left with their humanity. And they, you know, I felt no anger within them. They were just love, you know, for me. You know, that the people that I experienced. So it was a really moving experience. And so I think this is what I wanted to show with the experience of the favelas, with the project. Unfortunately, the vision was too large for what it was, because I got so involved into so many facets of it that it ended up not coming to fruition. I think that eventually I will rethink how it should happen, because I think that was the problem. It was just too large of a vision. But I think eventually I will revisit it, and because I think it would definitely benefit the nonprofits that I worked with and several others that I am still in touch with. There are some amazing people there. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful collection, and I encourage everyone listening to this talk to visit Dani's website to see some of the pieces. It's just beautiful. I was lucky enough and fortunate enough to see them in person. It's just overwhelming.
Yeah,
so beautiful.
The canvases are also like so big, and I just see how much all this time that you take on these pieces of art, and it's just like, wow, inspiring.
Well, Coco and Cashew, you guys have been so amazing for having me here. You are adorable, and I love you guys. You were just fantastic. I appreciate you so much for bringing me on your journey. You're amazing. And if anybody wants to find me, I have my Facebook group, my Facebook page, which is Daniela Matchell Art, and my Instagram, which is Art Daniela Matchell.
All right, that's what I was just about to ask. Where can our listeners find out more about you? So you're saying Instagram and Facebook would be the best channels?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It has been, this has been an amazing time sharing these stories and sharing your work with our listeners. We truly appreciate you.
Yeah, we do.
No problem.
And please send my regards to Michael and the boys. We are very grateful that they were able to share you with us for a little bit. And be safe. We love you very much.